You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. You guys know all this stuff by now. This week, episode 62, it's Resident Evil 4, you guys. It's like it's one of the greatest video games of all time. I know that the intro music was much slower and kind of less energy than normal. Listen, you're going to find out over the next like 50 minutes or so just how much I adore this game. But I went through like the entire soundtrack looking for something that was even just kind of uplifting, you know, because I like to start the show off with a little bit of energy, and that doesn't exist in Resident Evil 4, which probably adds to the genius and greatness of it. But so I'm trying to put a little bit more energy into this to try to bring it up after that sad music. And admittedly, I don't have a ton of music or a ton of energy this week because I am fucking tired. This is going to be a fast intro. I've been on the road, it feels like, for 2 months. And literally, like, as I record this, it's Monday the 2nd, the Labor Day, and tomorrow morning I'm on my way to Calgary for a week of shows there at the Comedy Cave. So if you're in Calgary, say hi. Come to my show if you want, but just say hi. That'd be even better. So I'll get through this intro, fucking get to talking Resident Evil, and then that'll be it. So, yeah, you guys know how all that stuff works by now. I hope you're having a great long weekend, or you had it, I guess, by the time this comes out. I don't know if it's Labor Day everywhere. I'm ignorant. I should have looked it up. I have no idea if it's only in Alberta, if it's in Canada, if it's in North America, the entire world. But wherever you are, I hope you had a great long weekend, or you have a long weekend coming up. It's back to school. Fucking, if you're listening to this, either your kids might be back at school. Maybe you're a kid who's back at school. If that's the case, ha, 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 ha. And if you're one of the parents, congratulations. You made it through another summer. So, I don't know why I'm even rambling about this. You guys don't give a fuck about my long weekend, but you guys know I have to talk for a few minutes. Otherwise the podcast would be too good. So, quickly throw us a follow, please, on Twitter and Instagram at Member the Game, or you can find us at facebook.com/rememberthegame. We're also on YouTube at youtube.com/rememberthegame. More Let's Plays and reviews are coming now that I have some home shows coming up in the fall. So I'll be at home. I'll be in my laboratory here creating more stuff. So throw us follows and all that stuff. And you guys know I have to plug it one time quickly, please. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. We'd really appreciate it. $2 a month is all it takes. You're going to get a shout out on the show. You're going to get an entry into a prize draw every month, which I'll be doing the draw for today and posting the video later this week. And you're going to get 2 extra episodes of the podcast. The last month we covered The Messenger and we did a Q&A one. This month it'll be a Q&A one and we'll be covering, last month we covered Octopath Traveler. This month we'll be covering The Messenger. And in October, if we can squeak it in and finish the game and get ready to record it in time, we may be talking about the Link's Awakening remake. So $2 a month, patreon.com/rememberthegame. Plus you get a shout out. Shout out to the newest supporter on Patreon, John. I don't know if you want me to say your last name, John, but thank you so much for signing up. I hope that it's worth your $2. And thanks to all of you guys for hanging around there. We really appreciate it. I mentioned a week or two ago that I applied to do a panel and a live recording at the Edmonton Expo of the podcast. I haven't heard back from them, so I'm starting to think I didn't get it because the expo's in 3 weeks. And that's fine. I didn't even know if it was something I should be doing yet or if I wanted to do it, but I applied. I still might be, excuse me, something in my throat. I still might be going. I am getting some business cards printed up for the podcast, and I may just go and hand them out. So if you're at the expo and someone hands you a Remember the Game podcast card and you listen to the podcast and you hear this, say hi. Holy fuck, that would make my day. But I'm not sure if I'm going to do that yet, but I'm thinking about it. So for anyone that was wondering about it, that's what happened. It doesn't look like I got it. They ignored me. So it's the 20th anniversary of Tony Hawk, the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater, which we covered. Well, we covered Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. Back on episode 21, I don't know how many more Tony Hawk Pro Skater episodes we'll do because those games kind of all blend into each other. But 20th anniversary, fuck me, man. Those games, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have played a Tony Hawk game. They took over fucking the world. Like, I feel like that was Call of Duty before, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a major franchise. Or maybe, like, how the kids are today with, like, Fortnite and stuff. Maybe that's what we were like with Tony Hawk Pro Skater. Like, everyone I knew fucking played Tony Hawk. Those games were epic. I know more about skateboarding from those games than I do about it from any other, a little bit from Ninja Turtles, but mostly from playing Tony Hawk. So happy 20th birthday to the Tony Hawk Pro Skater series. I love those games so much. As I'm recording this, like I said earlier, it's September 2nd. We have not seen anything from Nintendo about the games coming out for Switch Online this month, particularly Super Nintendo games, Nintendo. But the 1 year anniversary of Nintendo Online is coming up here in September. And people, sorry, I've cleared my throat before I got on here. I don't know what's going on. I went for a jog right before I sat down to record this. And I feel like it's just my body very slowly puking up that like hot puke phlegm that you get from you guys. I hope nobody's eating this, listen to this while they eat their breakfast. Nintendo Online expires. Okay, I'm sorry. This is bad podcasting. I need a drink. This was a pay episode. I would edit it out, but it's one of the free ones, so you get to listen to that. Nintendo Online expires this month for people that signed up for 1 year. People are getting very upset with the lack of games that they're giving us as far as their retro catalog goes. A leak has come out apparently of a Super Nintendo controller for the Switch. I am just praying that we get like Nintendo comes out and is like, oh, hey, by the way, on September 20th or whatever the fuck day it is, when your Switch 1 year online renews, you're going to get like a dozen Super Nintendo games. I would be so happy. So expect it. It's coming. I'm positive. Maybe not this month, but I think this month it's coming. It's fucking coming. It's driving me crazy. So, trying to think of what else I want to talk about. What are we at? 6 minutes? I don't have much else to say. I'm tired. You guys just want to probably hear about Resident Evil 4. So I'm going to get into what I'm playing. I'm going to shut the fuck up. I haven't been playing very much over the last week. I'm in that weird rut. You know when you get into that, you know when you finish a game that you've just been like obsessed with? And I can't remember if I mentioned this last night or last week with Fire Emblem or not. But like when you're just obsessed with a game and you put like 50, 60, 70 hours into it and then you finish it and you're like, well, now what do I do with my life? And you're like, do I go outside? Do I talk to my family? Like, do I eat? Like, what do I do? You know? And that's how I felt with Fire Emblem. I finished it. I have been playing it again with the Blue Lions. It's not quite the same just because I kind of know what the first half of the game is going to be. Still grinding through Paper Mario Thousand Year Door. I've got some hot takes on that game. That's an episode that's coming. I'm going to be recording it in the next week or two here with, I don't even want to say who it is yet, but with a new guest. And I've got, when I went into replaying it for the podcast, I was like, this game's fucking awesome. And the more I play it, it's still good, but I've got some controversial takes on that game now. I have not played it for a long time. But that's basically all I'm playing. I'm waiting on the Link's Awakening remake, which comes out on September 20th, I think, at some point this month. Really fucking excited for that. Hey, I think it comes out the same weekend as the Sega Genesis Classic, which I'm also really excited to get my hands on. As you guys know, we gave one away on our Patreon. Congratulations, Big Titus, or Titus, however you want me to say it. I'm pretty excited to get my hands on that. I'm getting more and more into these old Sega games. I've newfound respect for what that console brought to the table. Plus, there's a Mega Man game on there that I've never played, and oh, baby, I love me some Mega Man. So, kind of just going through the motions with Thousand Year Door and a replay of Fire Emblem while I wait on Link's Awakening and the Sega Classic. And pretty well what I've been playing this week. So good enough. We're at 7 minutes. I'm tired, or 8 minutes, whatever. I'm getting into the fucking this week's episode. Like I said, off the top, we are talking Resident Evil 4. I know I say literally, like, so this is episode 62. And so I bet you on the 61 previous episodes, I've probably said at least 30 times how excited I am to talk about this week's game. Probably more than that. But I really am excited to talk about this game. Like, this game is on my list of my 10 favorite games ever. Like, and it's written in pen. I'm sure, like, most of you guys, or like me, most of you guys are probably the same as me, where, like, your top 10 games list can change depending on your mood and what you feel like playing that time and stuff like that. But I have a few games that are locks. You know, I don't know where they fit in, but they're locks on that top 10 list. Resident Evil 4 is there. I fucking adore this game. It is available on everything. And admittedly, I tried playing it on Wii and just never finished it. I haven't replayed this game since GameCube. And then I finally replayed it on my Switch. The day it released on Switch, I bought it for the full price, $40. No complaints. I love it. To have that game on the go is worth every penny. It's incredible. Like, part of the reason I haven't played a lot of the other Resident Evils, which I'm slowly correcting, is because I tried them and was like, no, I like Resident Evil 4 better. It was just so much better than the original Resident Evil games. I like 5 as well. We'll probably do an episode on Resident Evil 5 here at some point. I thought 6 sucked. Apparently 7 is great, but none of them could touch Resident Evil 4. This game is the absolute fucking, and I don't care what you say, it's true. The Resident Evil 4 is the absolute pinnacle of the Resident Evil series. It's the pinnacle of the GameCube. It's the pinnacle of fucking survival horror games, or whatever the term is for the genre. I adore it. I hope you guys like it. My guest this week is Patrick, returning to the show, and I know he fucking likes it. So we're gonna nerdgasm all over this fucking game, you guys. This one is a masterpiece. It originally released in North America on January 11th, 2005. I am going to cue the music. The reason I didn't do that earlier is because the music is so sad. It originally released on the GameCube as an exclusive. It is now available literally on everything. If you've got anything that could possibly play a video game, you can go buy Resident Evil 4. It's probably available on the NES. But you know, we're going to get more into that this week, you guys. Kick back, relax. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Join Patrick and I talking Resident Evil 4. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work, gone, like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Okay, this is one of my most anticipated episodes since I started the show, and I say that almost every week, I know, but this one really is. This game is easily on my top 10 list of all time, and it probably squeaks into my top 5. And before I get to the game, I'll get to the guest. Returning to the show is my buddy Patrick McGrath. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Right on.
And we are going to spend this beautiful Saturday afternoon sitting inside talking about a 20-year-old video game, 14-year-old video game.
Yeah.
And that is Resident Evil 4. Patrick, this game is the tits, buddy.
It is, yeah. It's great.
It's fucking incredible. So they just re-released it on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And you and I had talked about doing this game before it was released, but after they had announced it, I believe.
Yeah.
And we both were like, I need a replay of it. And then I was like, so we both bought it, and we've kind of been racing each other to get through it and finish it. And now we're finally doing the podcast.
Yeah.
And when did you play it first? Like the first time?
The first time I played it was when it was released on the GameCube. My friend Devin had a copy of it. He brought over to my house and just kind of showed me how great it was. And it wasn't until it was released on the PlayStation 2 later that year that I actually played through it by myself.
Okay. I remember buying it for the GameCube, like almost at launch of it. And it was like, at that point, I just didn't have a ton of money. Like I wasn't buying every new game as they came out, and I had never played a Resident Evil game. I'd played about half an hour of the original and that was it. But the reviews were like, universally good. I was like, okay, this game looks cool. Let's give it a shot. And I was absolutely mesmerized by it. It blew my, I love the GameCube.
Yeah.
I feel like the GameCube is criminally overlooked. I think it's the Nintendo version of the Dreamcast.
I agree with that. There wasn't a lot that I kind of saw in the system other than Resident Evil 4. If it didn't come out on the PlayStation, because they announced it on the PlayStation 2 before it came out on the GameCube, they said there's going to be a version for it.
Right.
So that was pretty much my system defining game. I was like, if it doesn't come out on the PlayStation, I will buy a GameCube just for this game.
And you know what? I think that not to get on a rant about this, but I think that's one of the reasons the GameCube gets so overlooked, because it was up against the PlayStation 2.
For sure.
And the PlayStation 2, is the highest selling home console of all time.
I don't know for sure, but
because it had the DVD player, right? Like I bought one because I wanted. That's true. No one had a DVD player at the time, right?
Yeah.
So I am gonna look that up. So
I think we had one before we had a DVD player. I think that might have been how we were able to sell my parents on buying one.
Is that right?
I think so.
It is, yeah. 155 million units to the PS2, and then 154 to the DS line. That's insane to me.
It's like the Terminator 2 of the PlayStation.
Yeah, man. And when you think, this isn't a PlayStation 2 podcast. This is a Resident Evil 4 podcast. But, I just, looking at the numbers right here, I'm like, so it outsold the Nintendo DS line by a million. And how many different versions of the DS is there? And how many households own multiple systems? Because you have three kids, you bought each of them a DS, right? And the PlayStation 2 on its own outsold that. That's fucking awesome. Nuts. So that's why the Dreamcast died, because it was up against the PS2.
Yeah.
And that's why the GameCube is overlooked, because it was up against... I can't believe Xbox survived. The only reason Xbox survived is because of Halo and the fact that Microsoft has money out the ass.
Sure, yeah. There was, I think, a few reasons as well, but... yeah, I agree. And the GameCube didn't really... I was working at NEB Games during that time period where it was GameCube, PlayStation 2, and Xbox, and just when you saw, there just weren't enough exclusives outside of Nintendo stuff... for the GameCube to really succeed over those two.
Right, which is kind of... It's fucking... Here we are 15 years later, and it's still Nintendo's MO to an extent.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Resident Evil 4. I had a GameCube. I loved it, but I didn't have a ton of games for it, and I was always on the lookout for something new. And then when this game came out, everyone... it was getting 10s across the board. It'd be in praise. Mm-hmm. And I knew about the Resident Evil series, and people seemed to love the Resident Evil series. And so I was like, all right, you know what? I think I was working at Walmart at this point, so I had no money, but I was like, I'll spend a little bit of my money. I'll try this game. And, I'll tell you, dude, I don't want to over exaggerate this, but I really mean this. With the exception of Super Mario World, I can't remember another game that I was this smitten with right away. As soon as I started playing it, I was like, I love everything about this game.
And that's awesome coming from someone who didn't play Resident Evil. Myself, I was a huge fan of it. Resident Evil 3 was my favorite personally. And to have a game that you're like, it's now going to challenge everything that you've known about the game and the way that it plays, the camera style, the horror aspect of it, and it completely flips it, was just crazy. You're like, I can't believe that they're stepping away from this formula that's worked so well.
Yeah.
And they're going like over the shoulder camera, which we hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Their focus is not zombies anymore, which was crazy. I was like, there's no way this game's going to be great if there's no zombies in it.
Right. And that was, yeah, like having, because now I've gone back, I've played the original Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Because I actually bought, so I bought the Resident Evil 1 and the Resident Evil 1 HD and the Resident Evil 0 discs for the GameCube. I bought both after I played 4 because I love 4. And I didn't get into either of the other two because of the old...
Right, the tank style.
The old tank
and,
fucking control. Which, like, having now gone back and played Resident Evil 1 on my PlayStation Classic, I'm like, no, this is actually pretty rad. Yeah. I get it. But, dude, yeah, I can't even imagine how mind-blowing this must have been to, like, a diehard Resident Evil fan, because they just went off script entirely.
Yeah.
And, like, having read about it, because this is one of the few games I have done some homework for and read about, like, they fucking, like, restarted a couple
times.
Like,
the four versions of it that, originally,
and started over and over, and I think they were probably a little bit nervous about going off the script with it, with a franchise as beloved as Resident Evil.
Yeah, well, I was reading about it as well. There was a huge divide in the development team. Like, people didn't want to divert from what they knew, like going from an action or a horror game into an action game,
right?
And but then there was the other half that were like, we're tired of this same old formula and story, we needed something new. And, you know, like, they tried 4 times to get something right. Some of those versions sounded awesome though,
dude. Some of them do, right? Like, but the final version is fucking insane. So, like, I don't even know where to start with it. Like, so, like, I mean, I can't imagine, if you're listening to this, you haven't played Resident Evil 4. One of the reasons I brought up their Wikipedia page to have it ready for this podcast was just because I wanted to be able to list off all the different platforms this game is available on.
Everything.
It's GameCube, PlayStation 2, Windows, Wii, iOS, Zeebo, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, Android, PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch. So, if you own a video game console, you can play Resident Evil 4.
At this point, I've purchased 4 versions of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what do you have? PS2?
PS2. I bought it for on Steam for the Switch, and I also did buy the iOS version of it as well.
Oh, sick. Yeah. Is the iOS one any good?
It's not very good. Yeah. It's tough. Any good game is tough on a touchscreen system, but even, like, playing it on an iPad mini, it was cool, but it was very difficult.
I think it's cool that, like, they put some of these games on, like, you know, because, like, some work, like Final Fantasy and stuff, I'm like, I'll totally play Final Fantasy. I have 2 Final Fantasy games on my phone. They're rad. But, like, an action game, like,
a shooter game,
especially a game where like headshots matter and things, I can't imagine playing on a touchscreen. So it's on everything, but it started on GameCube, and, like, a big reason I'm so fond of the Nintendo GameCube is Resident Evil 4. This game, like, if you start with the graphics, I don't know where to start. We'll just start with the graphic. I just feel like I'm going to, like, blow my load all over this episode.
No,
I remember playing it when it first came out and being like, this is the most incredible looking video game I think I've ever played.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, for what the GameCube was doing at the time, it was insane to see what it could do. It was just like a powerhouse, like really pushing that system to the absolute max that it could do.
Yeah, and which is cool, like, because this has been Nintendo's criticism, I mean, really since, like, the Super Nintendo, when the Sega Genesis was taking digs at it, their systems are usually underpowered and usually not capable of doing what the other ones are. Mm-hmm. And, dude, they dropped this, and it was like, show me a game on the PS2 or the Xbox that looks better than Resident Evil 4. And at that time, it was hard to do.
I even think the PlayStation 2 version of it looks as good as it did on the GameCube. I think it might have suffered a little bit.
I agree with that. And, like, because I did own the PlayStation 2 one as well after I got it, like, dirt cheap when I was in collecting. Having played it now, though, this was the first time I have played it fully since the GameCube.
Yeah, since the PlayStation version.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's been 13 years or so since we played it. And I still think that this game stands up graphically. Like, I mean, obviously it doesn't look like, you know, God of War or fucking Last of Us or stuff.
But it's still incredible.
It looks really good, you know? Like, I mean, to me, like, when it comes to I'm not a graphics snob at all when it comes to my video games.
Gameplay over everything.
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. Yeah. Having said that, like, to me, there's 2 ways to go with graphics. One is to try to do it as well as you possibly can. And the other is to just lean into, like, a retro style or funny graphics. Yeah. You know what I mean? And obviously they were trying to go for a more photorealistic, like, good looking game here.
Yeah.
And I think they deserve more credit than you could possibly imagine for how this game looks. It looked as good playing it on my Switch today as anything else I'm playing right now.
Yeah, I agree. It was insane to be able to play it portably like that, like on the Switch, like while we were moving, having not access to a TV, just being able to pick it up and play it in handheld mode and just still be like, that's how I played most of the game for a long chunk of it, was in the handheld mode. And it's just incredible that you can do that.
Yeah, dude. Because yeah, like admittedly, everyone knows I'm a Switch fanatic, as I know you are too. Now, I played most of it on my TV with my Pro controller, mm-hmm. but there were times where my girlfriend wanted the TV, so I'd put my headphones in and play it on, and it worked perfect. Like,
yeah.
So it looks incredible. Like not only does it look good, but like it captures the atmosphere of the game so perfectly. Yeah. Like that first, I'll never forget. Not so much the very first house you go to, that
but the
cabin,
first village.
But the first yeah. village. And dude, yeah. I remember walking in and being like, this is fucking creepy.
When I played it this time around on the Switch, I was frightened getting into that. You know, when those first wave of villagers come at you, like, I was terrified,
dude.
Because I couldn't remember how to handle myself in those yeah. high-pressure situations. Because I've played a lot of, like, Resident Evil 5 and 6 over the years, and I really enjoy those ones because there's a lot more of that, like, run-and-gun action shooting over the shoulder like we've gotten with everything now.
Right.
But Resident Evil didn't have that. I forgot that it was stop and aim. There was no moving and shooting at
yeah.
that time.
Yeah.
And so it creates those like high tension scenarios where you're like, how do I handle this like herd of,
yeah.
of villagers coming at me?
What? Yeah, man. It, like, what fascinates me about that is like playing the original Resident Evil. I was like, a lot of people shit on those old slow tank controls, but I'm like, that's
oh, they're
part
scary.
Of,
yeah.
That's how it's the like the game works because of those controls.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for them to come up with like a faster, more action-based 3D camera style game where you still
maintain that Resident Evil fright and yeah. Gameplay.
Like those slow if
yeah.
the controls were like, if you could run and shoot at the same time, the game wouldn't work as well.
No,
you need that sense of fear mm-hmm. almost, mm-hmm. you know. And dude, like, yeah, when you go to that first village and you know you're in the fucking, you're trying to like bunker down inside that house,
yeah,
and you're trying to kill time. That
yeah.
was where I fell in love with the game
yeah.
because you're trying to bunker down in this house and you're just and you like I you have the first time you play it, you have no fucking idea.
No.
If these guys are ever going to stop.
Yeah.
And you're literally.
They do that a lot. And there was yeah. a lot of parts where I forgot that I'm like, oh, this is just a time-based thing where I just got to
hold
down until.
Yeah. But it's perfect. And like, and there's so many little things like you can push, like that you can push a shelf in front of a window.
Yeah.
And then that'll buy you time yeah. where they can't get through that window.
Yeah.
Or you can knock over a ladder.
Yeah.
And then they have to set it back up before they can get in. And like, that might seem like such a little thing to someone that's never played it, but I'm like, dude, that adds so much mm-hmm. to this game. You can,
oh, the amount of times I've been saved by just being able to kick down a ladder full of guys
yeah.
and just buy myself a little bit of time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You have a window on one wall and then a window at the other side of the room. And so you're pushing over the ladder at one window, then running over and taking care of the guys coming in the second window. And then you occasionally, because like, dude, I forgot about it for about an hour that you could hold down and hit B and do the U-turn.
Can
you?
Do you?
Oh yeah,
buddy. I think I forgot.
God,
entirely
game
about
saving.
That.
If you hold down,
oh no, yeah, yeah,
beat,
okay, yeah, yeah,
you'll do
no,
a 180.
Yeah, absolutely, yes, that's right.
And that's where the controls like
it's very crucial.
You need that.
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, like if you're trying to hold off two different windows, you turn around, shoot a few guys at one window, and then quickly turn back. And if the ladder hasn't shown up at the window yet, you're good.
Yeah.
But if you see those two rungs of the ladder, then yeah. you got to run over and push
and
it, down
it down again.
Yeah. And yeah, I remember playing through that particular part. And I was almost out of ammo, and I was getting stressed the fuck out because I was like, well, when do these guys fucking stop? And then all of a sudden, the bell rings in
yeah.
town, and then they all just leave.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they do such a great, like, I felt like, oh. And it's like, dude,
yeah.
like, when they can make me do that, that's mm-hmm. the perfect game. That's
yeah.
fucking done so well. In that very first village. And you see that dead cop?
Yeah.
Or whatever he is, like
yeah.
the security guy. Or
yeah,
the fuck
that's right,
he is.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's yeah. a police officer. Yeah,
and they set the atmosphere.
He's on fire.
Yeah, he's on fire, like burned at the stake, and you're like, holy
oh,
fuck!
No. Yeah,
and like, and you know what else I like? And I didn't realize this until after I played the original Resident Evil. It's not as cheesy, but they still keep some of the cheese and
mm-hmm.
some of the campy lines.
Yeah, for sure.
Which adds to it
yeah.
too. Like
for sure.
I love it. So it looks beautiful. The atmosphere is gorgeous. One of the things that's funny to me about the atmosphere is that you end up in so many different places, but
yeah, yeah. Like you start in that village and just like this, the scenery of the whole game, just from where you start to where you end up is just insane.
Yeah. Like if you had never, like if you put together a highlight package with no context, no anything, and someone just watched it, you're like, so you're in a village. That makes sense. Okay. Now you're in like the woods, which is outside the village. That's cool. Now you're in like a castle. But now you're in like a medieval castle. Now you're in the sewer. Now
yeah.
you're in a forest, like or a grass maze.
Yeah.
You know, it's now you're in like a mine.
Yeah, like some underground ruins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're at like a construction site on cranes, like over like, and now you're on a jet ski.
Yeah.
It like makes no fucking sense.
Yeah.
But they find a way to kind of make it
mm-hmm.
make sense,
mm-hmm.
which is really cool too. It never gets repetitive because every time you feel like you've been in one area for a while, you get out of it and go to a different area.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I like that. It looks good. I hate the sound too. That was the other thing is like, and I don't feel like this was a lot of games, but this was one where like you have to have headphones in. At least I feel like you do.
Yeah, it does. It definitely has that atmospheric. It's really nice to hear kind of the direction of where guys are when you know that people are coming up behind you, things like that. I didn't play it with headphones, but I definitely can see why. If we're talking about sound, though, I do want to talk about a problem I had with the sound. I was really interested to see if you found this. So I don't know if this just didn't hold up from original, but the sounds of water and the sounds of fire in this game sound horrendous.
I didn't notice.
They sound like they recorded fire. Anytime there's fire in the game, it sounds like it's multiple fires recorded in a tin can. Like it just does it just does not sound believable. And it was something that really stuck to me the whole time I was playing. It was really aggravating me. That just when you play it again, you're definitely gonna look for it. I think you're gonna hear what
I was just gonna say, now I'm gonna notice that. God damn it.
Yeah. And I couldn't remember if it's like, is this just it just didn't hold up or
right.
or what had happened here. But it was just one of those things.
I never noticed that. Because I do like things like, I mean, to me, it's critical to be able to hear them yell. Because now you know they found you, right? Which I have always loved. Like, it's borderline. I mean, because then that fucking slow, threatening music kicks in. Mm-hmm. Like that drum. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, boom. But before that, you hear that. Like, they always yell, like, the same couple of things.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, somebody has seen me. And now you got to find them. And then those fucking chainsaw guys.
Yeah.
And when you hear the chainsaw and you're like, oh fuck, they are I was getting anxiety going through the first village because I knew at some point I had to fight a chainsaw guy, and I remember hating them so much.
Now,
they didn't seem as hard this time.
Yeah. So what I distinctly remember was that first village, there was a chainsaw guy originally, but he didn't show up there. And I don't know if I was remembering incorrectly, because when he does show up for the first time, I was like, I don't feel like this is where I remember him being. I remember him being in that first one, because I remember like running up the ladder and pushing it down and trying to be, I remember it very distinctly in that first house.
In that initial swarm.
Yeah. And you're not in the first, the initial village that you go to with the clock tower or the bell tower.
In this one, like you come out of like a warehouse or something, and then he's just there on the other side.
Yeah. Right before you fight, Mendez, is what I remember.
Which is, I
in
do
the
remember
Switch,
that.
But I remember distinctly being the first one. He like jumps down from the roof or whatever. He comes out of he kicks the door of the house and he comes out with a chainsaw.
Ugh.
And that's what I remember. But
I fucking hate it. Took like, and I didn't find him as hard this time, but playing it the first time, maybe it's easier. I don't know.
Yeah, the only time I found him difficult this time around was when you're in the mine cart. Do you remember that part when you're in the mine shaft and the minecart's going and guys are jumping down from the platform, and you can shoot ahead and severely reduce the amount of people you have to deal with. But he comes down and you only have four carts or three carts to deal with him. And it's very tough.
Yeah.
And I remember this time around specifically had a really hard time with that one because I did not have a lot of ammo at that point.
Right.
So it was really tough to deal with him. When he gets in close quarters, because you know he's got that one hit kill, he just saws you in half, cuts your head off.
And that's one of the things that's another thing I love about this game is the way they constantly change it up. Mm-hmm. not just where you are, but they throw in these little hooks, like you said, when you're in the fucking mine carts. Mm-hmm. Right, that mine cart thing is rad.
Yeah,
and you're in three carts or something, and you can always jump from one to another. But like guys keep jumping in, and like you said, you peg them off. If you shoot them once, then they won't jump into the cart.
Yeah.
But it's just chaos, and you're running out of bullets. So you'll like what you try to do. At least what I tried to do is just bunker down at the end of one cart.
Yeah. I ended up doing the end cart. Yeah.
Yeah. But then you start running out of ammo, and you're like, well, I have to fucking jump into these other carts to get ammo.
Get the guy,
And then they fucking swarm you. Yeah. Ah. Yeah. But it's fucking rad though. I love this game.
Yeah. It's so good.
I would like to know if when they first designed it, if they put the cross or the laser sight, if initially they designed it without, and then we're like, no, this game needs the laser sight because it's a goddamn lifesaver.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't work without it, I don't think.
No, it'd be too hard. Like every weapon has a laser sight.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only does every weapon have a laser sight, but like you get like the ball of light at the end of it when it's on a bad guy. And then at least you know you're going to make the shot, right?
Yeah.
And it makes it easier to do headshots or, and that's another thing. I don't remember ever playing a game where again, I wasn't huge into the genre, but like where you could pick off like a certain body part,
sure,
and it would really have an effect, you know.
And that's the crucial Resident Evil mechanic is conserving ammo, doing the leg shots. I mean, it was much more difficult than the original Resident Evils because all you had was down, middle, and up.
Right.
So you had to kind of time as you're going down to nail those shots. Same with headshots, getting up close. You had to nail the while you're aiming up, kind of time it out. But yeah, knocking them down in the feet so they go down and then just knifing them until
that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. I probably died two or three times on this on my last playthrough because I tried to be too stingy with my ammo and shoot a guy in the leg once and chop him without realizing more guys were coming up behind me or whatever, and then they would get the drop on me, but fucking sons of bitches.
I wanted to ask you to compare stats. Did you keep your stats from like the end of the game, what you had overall, like your time, your death, stuff like that?
I think it's on my copy, but I don't have it on me or anything.
I think I took a screenshot of it. It's not important then if you...
Well, I know my time was 19-something.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what I clocked in at.
And then deaths was probably too many. I had a lot of fucking... It's funny, though, because I would go on like a two-day run where I wouldn't die at all. And then I would get into one part where it was just over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm playing through it again, like New Game Plus, and I'm trying to keep my deaths down.
Yeah.
And the first time I died was at that chainsaw guy, the first chainsaw guy again, because it was just you go through with the extra powerful guns and everything fully maxed out, so you're not really paying as much attention. And he caught me like running. I ran into a corner and turned around. He was right there and cut my head off. So I was like, ah, damn.
Because that's another thing that like, and I've never done it, but I do love the fact that as soon as you finish it, you can hop right back in and go again, but with all your new equipment and all the powered up guns and shit. And then you just feel like a boss running through.
Just crushing.
But I could get how you would get like kind of lazy because you think you're too powerful and then they fuck you up.
Yeah.
That's another thing I love about this game. And I'm going to say that a lot because I love everything about this game except for maybe one little thing. Is I love the items and the store guy. They're like, what are you buying?
Merchant,
like, dude, that
merchant,
guy is an icon in gaming
now.
Yeah. I love the way that they do that. I love the suitcase. And I know some people probably don't like that inventory management system, but I really like it. Because I've always slightly it's a very minor criticism because I understand it's needed, but I've always kind of had a beef with games where the characters got so much gear and you're like, where the fuck is it all?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this one, like, you have to manage how the items fit in your suitcase.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a Resident Evil thing now that I've played Resident Evil 1, 2. But I really like that mechanic. I thought it was cool. You have to be kind of selective with what you have.
Yeah, it creates for like you have to get then specific loadouts of like... And as the game evolves, you're like, okay, well, I definitely do need the mine launcher and I need to sell off a gun to have room for it. Or, you know, maybe I can't take all of this, all of these herbs or something. And
right.
You end up getting rid of flash grenades or things that you might not... find is useful.
You have to do like it's like, dude, it sucks sometimes when you come across like a like a hand grenade. Those things are goddamn lifesavers.
Or you pick up a rocket launcher and it just takes up so much space. You're
it's
like,
so
I can't
much space.
I can't afford to get rid of my sniper rifle to just take this one shot.
Yeah. And I love that
rocket
launcher. I'll ask you, like, the first thing I buy every chance I have is the upgraded suitcase. Like,
I'll
sell whatever
case,
I have
for
to.
Sure.
You
always,
need to,
As soon as it's available, that's what I buy.
You have to, And then you'll fill it in like, and you'll fill it in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's fucking. But I really enjoy that mechanic. Like, I love, because I always try not to combine my herbs right away and stuff because I want to wait and see if I can get like a yellow one.
Oh,
to throw
yeah.
It like
so
that.
I always try to leave one green one available. But if I have like four green ones, I'll just combine two of them to make a double or whatever, just that extra little punch of health. But yeah, you're always trying to keep and wait to get those, the yellow and the red combinations to increase your max health and stuff.
And like, so that comes in handy. And then like, I mean, I was going to say there's so many weapons, but like they're really, like you have a pistol, you have a shotgun, you have the rifle, like the TMP or whatever it is, like the automatic. You have a rifle, and then there's the rocket launcher and the mine launcher.
Yeah, there's just multiple versions of the pistol.
Right, yeah. Of a few. Yeah. Like, you know,
and the Magnum. You get also a Magnum.
Oh, yeah, and the Magnum, which is a fucking godsend near the end of the game. Mm-hmm. But I do it twice. During my playthrough of this game, I sold either once I sold my TMP and once I sold my rifle, being like, I'm not going to use this shit. And then I have to rebuy it later because it's like, no, I fucking need this shit.
So when I messaged you about doing this, like I had the TMP and I had some upgrades into it and I had the rifle. And I think it's right around the castle when you you first see those in the prison, the guy with the blind guy with the giant claws.
Yeah.
So you're able to buy the semi-auto rifle. And so I'm thinking for some reason, semi-automatic rifle replaces the TMP. So I just sell off my TMP and then I'm rolling with a semi-auto rifle and a rifle. and I get into the castle and I start using the rifle. And I was like, first time I pull it up, I was like, oh, I've made a mistake.
They're basically both sniper rifles.
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, well, now I'm
fucked. And then I don't want to spend the money because I want to upgrade all my other stuff. So I played a good chunk of the game with no TMP, but I just like, I sent you that screenshot, just like hundreds and hundreds of rounds of TMP.
Yeah.
But no, like no gun to use it on, and I could really use it at that point.
And that's the other thing that's happened to me a couple times too, is I would be completely at critical mass for inventory, but I don't want to sell off any ammo or get rid of any ammo, because ammo at times
it's too valuable,
dude. And like, because I'm not certain about this, but I'm almost certain that this game has a progressive difficulty curve to it. Whereas like, if it sees that you're dying a lot and running out of ammo, they'll give you more. And if it sees
it could
like,
be,
I'm pretty sure it does, because there are times in this game where I'm like, I am down to nothing. It's like, dude, not only like I'm shooting guys in the knee once and then running away because I have no ammo.
Yeah.
But then I have other times where I'm like, I'm a so fucking base. Like I have so much. Mm-hmm. And those times, and like, you constantly take it for granted.
Yeah.
Like I always did. I was like, oh yeah, let's go. I could fucking kill everybody.
Yeah.
And then
it only takes like one big fight where you're like just burning through ammo.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a fight with one of the El Gigantes or something.
Yeah,
just sinking a lot of ammo into.
Yeah,
him.
And now you're fucked. You know, like I don't know about yourself, but like to me, like my most prized possession and the first gun I maxed out entirely was my shotgun.
I upgraded. See, I always go pistol first.
Oh, because you get more ammo for it.
And it's just you get used to using it. It's you want like those heavy duty shots for crowd control. Like, right. But the shotgun is definitely next on the list.
It's a fucking. I was so stingy. Like I actually literally earlier today was talking to my buddy, you know, Miklos.
Yep.
Miklos, about how when I play video games, I'm so stingy with items and magic points, like in RPGs and stuff. And in this game, it was with my shotgun ammo. And it'd be like, I would die and then have to go back to a part. And I'm like, hey, I know it's time to break out the shotgun because I got swarms of guys coming. And I still wouldn't do it because, and it's like, what the fuck are you waiting for?
Shotgun's a gun I don't roll around with. It's like, I'll go pistol, try to thin out. But it's like when you get overrun, that's like you're pausing because you have to pause to get into the attaché.
Yeah.
And then switch the gun. So you're like, it's right as a guy's about to grab you. You're trying to grab the shotgun, just fire as soon as the screen comes back down just to get that crowd control.
And it's just like, dude, when you have like a swarm of seven or eight guys coming at you and one blast from the
just
shotgun
knocks them all down.
Puts everybody down. And now you just have a second to be like, because I know what I would do is put them all down and then be like, okay, like, who's the priority here? Like, is there any of those fucking guys that throw the explosives at you? Because you can use them to kill bad guys. Or any chainsaw guys or anything like that.
That's the other cool thing in this game that I don't remember being ever seeing before this was they throw projectiles like the sickles and the weapons, the axes, stuff like that. You can shoot those out of the air, which is awesome. That's like an old school like light rail arcade shooter move where you can like shoot projectiles coming at you.
Yeah.
And that was really cool. I like that like even if a guy's throwing something at you, you can nail it out of the air.
And you feel like a badass when you do it. Yeah. And you don't really even have to aim that hard. Yeah. It just has to be in the vicinity. But you feel cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love all that shit, man. I just this game just fucking captivates me. Like I want to play it again already. And 90% of the bad guys are sweet.
Yeah.
You know, like I know a lot of them are just the same few skins of villagers, like, and then they turn into
as the scenario shifts, those same villagers then are replaced by a different version of like you have all the villagers, but then as you get into the castle, it's like the monk looking characters, the guys with the shields and stuff, just things that like really add an extra level of like the crossbow guys. Those guys make me so mad.
I hate them. I fucking hate them. Yeah. I hate them. But then like, and I don't remember exactly what point in the game it happens, but I won't say it ruins the it doesn't ruin the game for me, but it's one of the few things that kind of chaps my ass is when you hit a point where you kill a, cause usually you can tell you've killed someone because their head explodes, you know, like, and then they do the like, and they disappear, but it hits a point where after their heads explode, you're waiting constantly to see if one of those
last plagues to come out of there.
Yeah. And when those, it's like, it looks like a fucking, it looks like Carnage from the Spider-Man movies. Like it's this fucking razor-edged tentacle thing comes out of their head. And now you have to kill that. Yeah. And shooting the body won't kill it. You have to headshot it.
And, or throw a flash grenade.
Right, And it hits the point where I'm like, I don't hate them because I know they're good for the game. But I do hate them.
Yeah. The ones I hate are the bat ones where it's like, it's got the wings. So even after you kill it, even if you've shot the Las Plagas out of the head, the body falls down and it just becomes like a little creature crawling at you or flying at you. And you're like, oh, now it's like a third thing that I got to deal with.
And you just like, why I hate them is partially because they fucking do damage on the ass. Mm-hmm. And partially because you burn so much ammo.
Yeah.
Because by that point, and what's cool about it is they let you play a good probably 5 or 6 hours of the game before they start showing up.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you better know how to do a headshot by now.
Yeah, by now, yeah.
Because if you don't, these guys will kill you.
Yeah.
Because you could shoot their body. You could unload an entire clip into one of their bodies, and I don't think you'll kill it because you have to headshot.
You can't. Yeah, it has to be. Yeah.
But having said that, dude, the feeling of satisfaction you get from the explosion of one of those, like, it never gets old when you know you've killed one. It never gets old. Mm-hmm. It's so satisfying. So that's a pretty minor criticism. It's not even a criticism. I just, playing through it, I hadn't played it so long, and I knew they were coming, and I was like, I'm just going to enjoy life before they show up.
Yeah.
And then when they start showing up, you're like, fuck me.
Yeah.
here we go. What do you think about the QuickTime events? Do you like them?
Yeah, they're fine. I like, it's cool. I got nothing against them.
You know, me neither.
They're used the right amount where...
Yes.
I remember the first time I dealt with it where you're like, oh, you can't just watch a cutscene anymore. Like, you have to be ready for something to happen, potentially.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're cool. It was a cool little added thing that keeps you in the game while there's something going on. Like, while there's a part that typically you would only ever have to watch.
Yeah.
It still maintains keeping you in that game.
Yeah, I don't know if this episode will go up before or after one I recorded yesterday, but we were talking about QuickTime events and that, too. And I said... when they're used right, I really enjoy them in video games. Mm-hmm. It's when a game becomes like nothing but that I start to get irritated, you know? But like this one, I feel like just every once in a while they throw it in. And honestly, dude, I bet you I died on half of them the first time through.
Yeah.
Because you can't put your guard down.
I died because of my infamiliarity with the Switch control labeling. I still, in my brain, it's either a PlayStation or an Xbox layout.
Oh.
So when I see A and B and X and Y, I'm like... I don't have right away in my head the ability to distinguish. But
where
then this game, it's only two versions. It's either the two Z buttons at the top or it's the A and B, I think.
Yeah.
They don't throw in any other weird combinations of diagonals across those.
Yeah. No, but yeah, for the most part, they don't bother me. The boss fights, I don't... There's one boss fight I fucking despise in this game. The fish.
Oh, the big salamander
stupid
thing?
Stupid fucking whale shark thing. Yeah. I just... It's probably my single biggest criticism of the game is that particular fight. And I just
having to throw like the spears at it and stuff.
Yeah. And I just, I don't know. I fucking hate it. I just hate it. I think it's boring. I think it's fucking like, I get that they're just trying to change shit up.
Sure.
Like, and I'm all for that. Like to me, one thing I hate about video games is when they make a boss literally nothing but a regular bad guy that can take a trillion hits.
Sure.
Cause there's nothing new. There's nothing exciting, right? Whereas, like, to me, like, there's three basic styles of play in this game. There's either the run and gun, there's the, like, bunkering down and trying to hold on, or there's the boss fights where you're looking for, like, certain things.
Yeah.
And I like most of those. Mm-hmm. Like, I just did that fucking fish. I don't know what it is about. I'm just like, this is just, I got to wait for him now to fucking swim. And then, he knocked me out of the fucking boat again. You know, I fucking, maybe I just suck at it. I don't know.
You're just upset about being knocked out of the boat. Because if you don't run over those tree trunks, you don't ever have to deal with that.
Yeah.
It's like when he pulls you, you can just steer the boat around those things. Yeah.
But
it does become very aggravating when you have to like slam on the buttons repeatedly to swim back to the boat. And,
fuck him. But. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/rememberthegame. And you know what's, but like another thing that I like and hate about this game is that like they create this sense of dread sometimes because you know that something like that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he looks at them from up on the mountain cliff.
Yeah, with his binoculars, you see it and you're like, I'm going to be going there.
Right.
Now.
And then you have to go down and get in a boat and you're like, well, fuck me.
Yeah.
Because now you know you're going to have to fight this fucking thing. I hate them. But other than that, most of the boss fights are pretty cool. I don't have a problem.
The only one that's not cool is the Krauser one. When you end up fighting Krauser, because you can just cheat and use your knife the whole time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I don't know where I learned it. Because the first time I ever saw the game was my friend Devin playing that Krauser fight where you're like going through the maze and he drops down and you got to fight him until he flashbangs away. But the actual fight, he comes at you with that big giant bat wing thing blocking his body. But if you just knife at his feet, he falls down, you knife, and then you do it again, and then you'll just have to do the quick time dodge so he doesn't hit you. And it's just like, you do that like maybe four times and that's the whole fight. So if you know that, it's really easy.
Yeah,
and it's cool
that
they kind of give you that option of like, hey, if you do some investigation or, you know, a little bit of outside thinking, you can get through this without wasting a ton of ammo, because he takes a shit ton of ammo.
I think when I beat him, it was I would use a grenade to put him down and then magnum him.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I gotta
use my don't have to do any of that.
Yeah, well, fuck, now I know. Fuck, I hate him. Okay, so that actually is a decent segue then. What do you think of the story in this game?
I mean, I enjoyed it. If you read through all the stuff, it's very cool. You know, like learning that Lewis was originally a researcher for Las Plagas, and he kind of has like a moral issue with it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to help you out.
Yeah.
The overall scheme of it, the typical just like get the president's daughter, infect her, use her to infect the president. Now I'm taking over the world. That's the whole story at the core.
Right.
And the whole like focus of the sample, like the master Plagas sample that they're going to give to the United States. I mean, it's Resident Evil shit. It's, you know, something's going to infect the whole world and that's what you're dealing with is the single person.
I found it like, I think Lewis is cool. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so, I mean, in classic Resident Evil style, he's so cheesy and cliche, but I have no beef with him.
No.
He holds his own
in the cabin.
Right. And I don't hate the concept of saving Ashley. I actually think they do that quite well. I never find her to be a pain in the ass.
Sure.
Or hard
yeah.
To
when
handle.
She, I did, there were a few times when I forgot how you have to kind of treat her, where I'd end up knifing her by accident, trying to cut open a box, she just, before she would be able to run behind me or whatever.
Right.
And there was, you know, the parts where you actually, they keep it to a minimum where it's like, oh, she's down there and you have to snipe guys away from her or whatever and really save her. For the most part, she's not really a hindrance, you know, and I kind of do like the sense of urgency when you get overwhelmed and you're really only just looking out for yourself. And then she gets captured and someone starts carrying away. You're like, okay, now I gotta focus on this guy, shoot him without shooting her. I've definitely, you know, made a few mistakes.
And I like that. Like, it's, I think some people probably don't, but like, cause she'll get, like, you'll be in a huge swarm of guys fighting them. And then all of a sudden you'll just hear like, meow, and you turn around and see you're getting carried away. And I like the fact that you can kill her if you're not careful, which I think is cool. Like, so you got to shoot the guy that's carrying her. So he'll fall down, drop her, and then she'll run back. But if you shoot her, it'll kill her. And I don't know if there was a single time where I killed her and I was like, well, that's just fucking bad design.
Yeah, because, like, even if you aim at her while there's a group of guys around, she'll duck down. So at least it's easy not to hit her. Like, you really have to be fucking up if you're shooting her in that sense.
Yeah, I just, like, I guess where my semi-criticism of the story comes in is I just, like, I don't know. At times I found it kind of hard to keep track of everything. And I was like, is Sadler the fucking boss?
Right.
Or is...
they don't do a good job of explaining that, like, Salazar owning the castle. He's just like, that's all he is. He just owns the castle. He's also part of, like, they're all working for Sadler.
Right.
And they don't really, you're like, okay, so is Salazar the boss now? Because when I was thinking about it, I was like, Salazar's the boss, the little imp guy.
He seems like the perfect boss.
Yeah, right.
Because he's just this little annoying piece of shit, you know.
And it seems like you kind of go through stages where it's like, okay, he's the boss for this thing. He's clearly going to be the boss at the end of this castle.
Yeah.
And he's the one capturing, and they're all working for the same thing. But you're not really, it's not really explained. Maybe it is in the documents and stuff. I just didn't pay attention enough. It wasn't until I was reading about it where you're like, okay, that's his specific thing. Like, he owns that castle. That's his role here.
I don't know. I don't hate it. I was like, who the fuck is the end game? Who do I want to stop?
I did like when they introduce, like Ada Wong comes back, and you haven't seen her since Resident Evil 2.
Right.
And, you know, they still had, like, Wesker and Krauser and stuff like that. So it was cool that, like, at playing that game, being a fan, you're like, oh, man, like, that girl from Resident Evil 2, like, that's pretty cool. I like that stuff that they bring back. And right. So you do see, like, familiar people from this series.
See, now, having never played that, I was like, who the fuck is this?
Right,
like,
yeah.
And I was like,
and they don't explain it. And that's part of it. Like, all the previous connection stuff, they just throw at you as like, you already should know who these people are.
And that kind of doesn't ruin the game for me. At the end of the day, like, the story is almost secondary. It's just fun to play.
Yeah.
But I was like, why don't you tell me who the fuck these people are? You know what I mean? I was like, who the fuck is this chick?
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Leon? Because I didn't really know who Leon was. Okay. I knew that he was from Resident Evil 2.
Right.
But I didn't really know anything about him. I almost felt like, I guess it's not a bad thing, but I almost felt like they could have either gone with these people digging up this ancient plague and they're going to infect the world, or they could have gone with Ashley. I almost felt like they didn't need both. Mm-hmm. But then they did, in a way, explain, like, well, we have Ashley because we want to infect her. And
then send her back to the States.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, I was like, okay. Yeah. But at times I was like, this story, I almost found myself just being like, I just want to play the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely, like, yeah. I was just like, okay. Especially this playthrough, I'm like, I know the story, so I didn't really have to pay too much attention.
Right. And explain who the fuck that chick is, because I don't know who the fuck she is. Anna, or whatever the fuck. I had no idea who the fuck she was. And I was like, bullshit, she could do that in that dress with these heels on. Like, get the fuck out of here. But for the most part, the story's okay. It's enough to keep you going. Mm-hmm. It's the sense of atmosphere, to me, is like the selling point of the game.
They really relied on the gameplay in this one. It was, it was groundbreaking gameplay, which pretty much set the trend for an entire generation of third-person shooters, right?
Like, oh, absolutely. Like, dude, if you look, I guarantee you, if you bring up a list of the greatest video games of all time, Resident Evil 4 is going to be
It's considered one of the best games of all time.
And it has to be. And it revolutionized that style of game. It reinvented, and some would say, maybe not saved Resident Evil, because I think Resident Evil was in fine shape after the first three, but it certainly reinvented the fucking series, that's for sure. And I think, because I played 5 after 4, and I enjoyed 5, I was like, this is, I saw a lot of people panning it, being like, this isn't Resident Evil at all. This is just a running shooting
it
game.
It is.
But
it
I loved
is.
It.
But it's still fun. There's still some good designed enemies and stuff.
Yeah.
I enjoy playing both of them. I like the co-op aspect of 5 and 6. Being able to play with somebody is very fun.
Yeah. At times, like, and I will say this too, like, at times you're almost, Ashley's almost handy because the game is so dark and at times kind of creepy that it's like, it's kind of nice to have her around, just to have somebody else there, which sounds stupid because it's a video game, but it's nice to just have somebody else there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like, the perfect Resident Evil to me is that remake of 2 they did. So they have the over the shoulder style that they've invented, but with zombies of the second one.
Right.
And that's like, that's where the series is perfect.
Right. Like, most people, like, my understanding at least, is that most people say, like, 1 was fine, 2 was incredible, 3 was good, 4 was masterpiece.
Yeah.
I thought 5, I didn't think 5 was as good as 4, but I enjoyed it.
No, it's not. 5 and 6 are not as good as 4,
no,
but
I didn't,
they're still fun to play.
I didn't like 6. I actually tapped out on 6.
Oh, I still played it through. It's just fun because you get, like, you can play essentially 6 different characters.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to, like, go through and see what each person has to offer and their play style and weapons and stuff.
Right. And then have you played 7?
No, I haven't yet.
Dude,
no, I really want to.
When I had a PS4, I played the demo of 7.
Yeah.
And I struggle with scary, like, I'm not a horror guy. Yeah. That is fucking horrifying.
Yeah, it looked great.
And the reviews are immaculate for it as well. But it was like, ooh, it was too much. I couldn't do it.
I'm really hoping that they eventually get around to putting either 7 or the Resident Evil 2 remake onto the Switch.
Yeah, I want the 2 remake especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7, I think in Japan they have like a service where
you can
stream it.
Yeah.
But they're worried about people in America not having good enough internet for it.
Because
stupid Westerners.
Yeah. So, I looked into it because I could seriously considered trying it, but it didn't seem like it was very reliable.
No, I don't know. Maybe someday we'll get it. Maybe we'll get it on Switch too. The Resident Evil games are pretty good, man. I mean, I've only played a few. I'm not a diehard, like it sounds like yourself, but Resident Evil 4 is like, legitimately makes me happy. It's in probably my 3 or 4 favorite games.
Yeah, it's really great. There's a lot of really good enemies in the game, and so I was really interested to see, like, what's your favorite enemy in the game?
It's both my favorite enemy and my least favorite enemy.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's those fucking creepy things that do the shuddering breathing.
The regenerators.
That you have to shoot with the thermoscope.
Yeah, dude. Those are the best.
I got like, as I thought I was getting close to the end of the game, and I was like, dude, and I'm thinking, I was like, maybe those guys were in five, because I hadn't seen them yet.
There is a creature very similar to them in five, yeah, where the hand falls off and the hand chases you and stuff, yeah.
And I was thinking, I was like, maybe they're not in this one. Yeah. And then as soon as I got into like the science lab, I was like, oh, fuck.
There it is.
And like, you can hear that like,
yeah.
noise that they make.
This creepiest. There's There's one specific part where there's one of them as you get into like that kind of prison thing.
Yeah.
And you could hear him down the hall, and they put a little red herb right at the end, and you'd have to run past his cell, but you can't tell which cell it is.
Yes.
So you're like kicking open the doors and he's not in there. And then it's like the last one, and he comes at you, and it's a very short hallway. But the regenerators, but my favorite version is the Iron Maidens, where it's the regenerator, but they do the spike maneuver.
Yeah.
Those guys are awesome.
They're fucking sick.
Yeah, so those are the best.
Like, I can't, if by some chance you haven't played it, they look like science projects. They're like shadows of people, almost. Like, they're fucking creepy.
They're like a
7-foot
tall person.
Yeah. And so what you have to do is put a thermoscope on your rifle, and then you can zoom in on them, and then you can see where like the plagues are, I guess you would call it. Yeah. I don't know what it is like.
Yeah.
And you have to shoot like 3 or 4 bright orange spots in them, but the whole time they're walking toward you and making that like fucking creepy
it's like
ass
a weird
sound.
Laugh.
And breathe. If they get close, they don't just attack you like some, like especially like they blow up in spikes.
Oh, they're so scary the way, like, when they actually grab you, if you try to run past them.
Yeah,
just the animation of, like, how they bite, like, all of a sudden teeth manifest and they're just, like, biting into your collarbone. Like,
they're, for my money, they're the scariest villain in the game. They're some of the hardest ones to kill, but they're also, like, you want to talk the atmosphere of Resident Evil 4? Yeah. They're fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And when you can't see them, but you can hear that fucking breathing sound.
The first time you deal with them, and you have to deal with maybe 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
And you first get that thermoscope, and you can just hear them everywhere you go. But outside of the thermoscope, like, the crazy part is if you shoot a part of them and it disappears but then regenerates, it'll affect the way that they attack you. So if you shoot their legs, they'll fall to the ground and then they'll just like slither towards you quickly and they'll grab you, and it's so frightening.
But it's, dude, like, how do you not give Capcom, like, it's probably their greatest achievement is this video game.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, that's, well, okay, as a Mega Man guy, their greatest achievement is Mega Man.
Okay.
Yeah. But Resident Evil 4, like, it's, like, it's to add all that kind of stuff. You can shoot anyone in the leg, and then they'll keep coming at you, but they have to limp, or you can blow off one of their arms, and now they don't have, you know, like, fucking unreal, man.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This has been a long podcast, but fuck, that felt good. Before we score this thing and kind of put a bow on it, you got any last thoughts on Resident Evil 4? Other than it's phenomenal.
It's so great. It was so fun to play through it again. I really enjoyed it. It was it brought me back to the first time I played it, and just how obsessed I was. Like, I was so into the character of Leon in this game. Like, I had like a Leon haircut as a kid. Like, when that game came, like, I was in high school, I had like that
nice,
like, yeah, weird swoop thing. Like, I wanted a bomber jacket so badly because he has one. Like, I was so into this game, and playing it again was fantastic. Like, it was so awesome to be able to revisit that, and it was just like as good as I remembered it to be.
Yeah, it's, and like, I have seen some people on like Reddit and stuff complaining that apparparently, and I never played it, but apparently the definitive version of this game is the Wii version.
That's what I've heard. So I did see people, disappointed that there was no motion controls or the pointing controls, which I didn't play that version either, so I didn't. It didn't really bother me.
No, me neither. And I will say this, like, if you're listening to this and you're turned off by Resident Evil 4 on the Switch or on the Xbox One or PS4, whatever, because of the lack of the motion controls, I'm telling you, it'll probably take you 20 minutes and then you'll get a feel for it and then you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it adds to the atmosphere. It adds to the gameplay. Probably more than any video game that's currently available on a modern console, I cannot recommend enough playing Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
It's
on everything.
Good. It's on everything.
It's anywhere you can get it.
And it's phenomenal. Yeah. I love it. So then, Patrick, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you score Resident Evil 4?
I give it 9.
Yeah?
Yeah.
9's pretty good. I'll go 9.8 because I won't give anything a 10.
Yeah, I know. Your rule.
And it loses an extra 0.1 for that fucking fish fight. But it's so, dude, like, I already want to play it again.
Yeah.
I just don't have...
I'm already on my second. I'm like 3/4 through the second playthrough already. I just, as soon as I finished, I just started again.
Talking to you about it, getting ready for this, I was like, well, now I kind of want to play it again.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. It's one of the greatest video games of all time. Go play it. And Capcom, just make more Resident Evil 4s. Or I guess 7s. Or give us 7. Fucking let us play more of your games. That's all. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, dude.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, you guys. Patrick, thank you so much for coming over and talking Resident Evil 4 with me, and to all of you out there in listener land across the globe, thank you so much for listening. The listenership means a great, great deal to me, guys. It's fucking awesome. Our numbers are still going up. Check us out. You can follow us on all the social media, Twitter and Instagram. We're at Member the Game, just like Remember without the RE at the front, Member the Game. Facebook.com/Remember the Game, and of course, Patreon.com/Remember the Game. $2 a month is all I'm asking. I'll give you as much as I possibly can, including giveaways. And if you're enjoying the show, leave us a good review. I don't know what they accomplish. I ask for them every week. Sometimes I get them, sometimes I don't. But apparently I'm supposed to be asking for them, so please leave us a good review. And with all that shit said, I'm getting out of here. It's Labor Day. I'm going to go hang out with my girlfriend, you guys. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with episode 63 of Remember the Game. In the meantime, go play some video games. Good luck back at school, you stupid kids. And enjoy your peace and quiet again, parents. You just suffered through the whole summer. You deserve it. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.